So thank you, everybody, for coming together to discuss the topic of deepening our relationship with the Holy Name. We will do this in two sessions. Today we will introduce the topic, and then tomorrow morning, instead of the regular Bhagavatam class, we will present one little secret of success in chanting, and we will even do a little japa exercise tomorrow morning. So please bring your beads, and even if you forget to bring them, you can just chant either on your hands or just chant, and we will let you know when one round is finished. Just to have a little outlook on what expects us. So, as you may know, I do like to conduct these Holy Name retreats. If you ever want to have a really nice experience, then please come to Mayapur just before Christmas. And I usually do this Holy Name retreat in Ego Chakra, Nityananda's birthplace. I've already booked the place for this year. 23rd to 27th of December. It's a really nice experience. Just being 4 nights in Ego Chakra is an amazing experience in itself. Actually, once Chandramouli Swami came along. Yes, and he attended the whole retreat. It was almost a little embarrassing for me. He was sitting there the whole day listening to me. And I usually have some role plays, how to chant, how not to chant, in japa, in kirtan, showing different principles. And he was taking part in the role plays too. It was very funny. Yeah, so we had a good time. And Smita Krishna Swami also once came along. Yeah, so I had all kinds of wonderful personalities there, and that, of course, always uplifts the atmosphere. So, yes, all you have to do is be there 1 or 2 days before and register on my website. And I arrange everything, the bus, the prasadam, the accommodation. And I even offer it on donation basis. Yes, so come and be my guest. It's Ego Chakra, it's an amazing place, really in seclusion. There's hardly any network. And that's always the best place for such an event, you know. Yes, and people have to put their internet activities a little aside. Yeah, so in any case, I don't want to waste the whole time here raving on about the Holy Name retreat in Ego Chakra. But, yeah, so we have only 1 hour today, or now only 45 minutes, and another hour tomorrow, so I can only give some little glimpse, you know, in what I usually like to discuss, actually. So let us begin by understanding that actually the chanting of the Holy Name, no matter whether it's in japa or kirtan, is a very deep thing. It's actually a very deep science and secret. And one has to make ongoing endeavor to get on deeper levels of chanting. You know? And very often we take this very lightly and cheaply, and we just blabber something around there, and just our mood is just to get these rounds done. You know? And our joy comes from getting them done and not from chanting the Holy Name. So this is often our sad situation. And also interesting to observe that actually when we come to Krishna consciousness, we come on the level of Namabhas, which is the clearing stage. Because when we start chanting, we are, you know, we try this chanting, oh my God, okay, how to do it, and you know, we have all respect and we endeavor to do this nicely. I mean, I definitely remember when I chanted the first time on beads, this was a whole thing, and I was almost afraid that anybody would hear me. And I actually was chanting under my blanket in my room. I tried this the first time. What would it sound like? And, you know, yeah, this is actually Nama Bas. But then we have two options. Either to go down to Nam Aparat, the offensive stage, or we stay in Nam Abbas and work our way up to Shudanam, the pure chanting. And I think we have to shamefully admit that most of us take the option number one and we go down to Nam Aparat. And we develop so many bad chanting habits. And then to get out of these bad chanting habits again is a whole big struggle. You know, once these habits are established, so difficult to get rid of them again. And another thing which I find shameful to admit is that, you know, these days, in big cities, I don't know what's like here in Ljubljana, but in big cities, almost on every street corner, you find some meditation place, right? Often they even have kirtan. They call it kirtan. But they're most of the times they're doing some Mayavadi meditation practices. But they take their practice so much more seriously than we do. Yes. When they meditate, oh, they sit in lotus position, Mayavadi music is playing, the candle is burning, you know, the door is locked, don't disturb, I'm meditating. You know, they take this really seriously. But what are we doing? You know? We don't. We just blabber something down, you know? Yes, yes. And our meditation practice is the topmost meditation practice, which gets us to Goloka Vrindavan. No other form of meditation gets us there, you know? But we take it so lightly and cheaply. And I'm often thinking, God, if we would train our devotees like the Mayavadis train their, you know, their followers, or practitioners, then we would do a lot better, you know? Yes, yes, we should establish right from the beginning, very strictly, how we are meant to chant, you know? That all these bad habits don't even infiltrate our life. And sometimes when we say to somebody, hey, you know, this is inattentive, what are you doing there, somebody on the phone chanting or something, then, oh, people almost get offended, you know, the false ego rebels, oh, who are you to tell me, or something, you know. Yeah, so this is the sad situation. And we can say any activity which we do very regularly, or any relationship where we interact daily. You know, these activities or relationships are prone to over-familiarity. Definitely in married life, whoever is married here would know this. You know, that if you know each other so closely and you know each other's weaknesses and. So then we lose respect. We take each other for granted. We take each other lightly and cheaply, and we say all kinds of things to each other which we would never ever say to anybody else. But, it's just my husband, it's just my wife. So, and similar thing is there in activities we do very regularly. For example, if you are on the altar every day, you know, very easily this routine mood enters, that we just, okay, we just go through the motions. Here we are again, you know, doing things mechanically as a routine business, you know. Yes, and we forget what we do, that we actually personally worship the Lord there, you know. Yes, we forget that. So it's dangerous, you know. Even every morning when we offer flowers to Prabhupada, you know, can also be a complete routine thing. We just grab in the basket, 1, 2, 3, on the paying basis, done, you know. And we don't even think, what are we doing? Actually, best would be if we all would go and pick some flowers for Prabhupada's Guru Puja, you know, then there would be, the whole offering would be conscious, you know. Yes. Yesterday we were talking about, also about the importance of becoming conscious before we become Krishna conscious. Yeah, so even this offering the flowers can be a completely mechanical routine thing, because many of us do it for many years, every morning, at the same time, you know? Yes. So, same thing is there with the chanting, because hopefully we are all chanting japa every day, some prescribed number of rounds, 16 or less, whatever, or more, whatever it may be. Yes, but this can become such an external thing just to get it somehow done, you know, and we forget what we are really doing, you know. Yes, and we have heard this all many times, that Krishna is non-different from the holy name, but yet to actually realize this is not so easy. Yeah? Yes. But when we think about it more deeply, it's quite amazing that Krishna extends himself into the holy, into the material world by giving us his holy name, just so we can reconnect with him, so we can reestablish this lost and forgotten relationship. By the way, that's the reason why we chant. No other reason, you know, to reestablish and reawaken this relationship, which is at the moment lost and forgotten. Yes, so, and that means that chanting the holy name, or by chanting the holy name, we can get exactly the same benefit as meeting Krishna face to face, having his direct personal association. Wow, if you think about it, this is actually mind-blowing, you know? Yes, because we all know how important it is to have uplifting association, right? So when our Guru Maharaj comes, we all are very eager, oh, I want to, you know, be there, catch some merciful glance and smile and get his Maha garland and hear from him and awe, oh, and bathe my heart in his energy that emanates from him. You know, we are keen, hopefully. You know, so by chanting the holy name, we can get the direct association with Krishna. Wow, I mean, what else would we want? You know? Yes. There is somebody very unhappy. Very unhappy. What are we gonna do? Anyway. Yes. So that's actually what chanting is all about. To meet Krishna face to face. But of course, it depends how we receive Krishna, you know, when we call upon him. So let us imagine we invite our Guru Maharaj to our home for lunch, you know, and then he comes and we just turn our back to him and we ignore him and we are busy with more interesting things to do, you know. So what would he do? He probably would just turn around and leave, you know. Or we fall asleep, you know. What a reception, you know. So he would just turn around and go. And obviously, such kind of reception, we cannot even call association, right? Yes. And we definitely would not get any benefit. And maybe we would even receive some reactions for, you know, receiving him in a disrespectful and inappropriate and neglectful way. So, this is unfortunately the main problem when we chant. Because as we know, there's 10 offenses to chanting the holy name. And then there's also an 11th offense, which is unconscious chanting, inattentive chanting, which is also unconscious chanting. Yes. So inattentive chanting is the root cause for all the other 10 offenses. It's the 11th offense, right? So, and in my holy name retreats, I like to explore what it means to be inattentive while chanting. You can explore this for 3 days, believe it or not, with 3 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon. Yes, and you still haven't finished exploring it. Whole big topic. So, let's make it brief. Inattentiveness takes place on 3 levels. On the level of the body, on the level of the mind, and what's the 3rd level? Yes and no. What's the 3rd level? On the level of... No, definitely not. Definitely not. Body, mind, and heart, yes. You know, we women are more connected with the heart level. The men are more connected with the intelligence. You know, so that's why you were suggesting a level of intelligence. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? Yes. Yeah, so the 3rd level is level of the heart. And that's obviously the most crucial level. Because the chanting, and not only the chanting, the whole process of devotional service is meant to transform the heart. But it will only transform the heart if the heart is involved. Right? Very simple. By the way, it's in all services we do, even hearing. You know? We should be attentive on the level of the body, not doing so many other things there with phone and this and that and writing messages and all that, you know. Level of the mind, you know, one should be attentive, one should not make all these plans, you know, shopping list, next preaching program, the Shingo Chaturdasi, how are we going to do it all, and, you know. So, and level of the heart, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Harinam Chintamani, he quotes that 3rd level, this inattentiveness on the level of the heart. He quotes it indifference. That the heart is indifferent. You understand indifference? In German, it's Gleichgültigkeit. If anybody speaks German here, yes. Yes. Yes, indifferent. Oh, well, I can take it or leave it, you know. Whatever. You know, sitting off your time. Okay, when is it finally finished? You know. Yes. So, if the heart is in indifference, then the words will simply go in one ear out the other in regards to hearing. It will, they will bypass the heart. And therefore, nothing will happen in the heart. Yeah. So we have to hear with some eagerness, some burning desire to capture something. Like Rupa Goswami says, loyam, the greed for Krishna, is what we need to get bhakti. So that greed manifests, you know, if a person is greedy for anything, he wants to hear and find out, right? Yes. So same thing there about Krishna, you know. If we are greedy for Krishna, we will want to hear eagerly, like a dry sponge sucking up every drop, you know. Yes. Or if we serve on the altar, you know, heart is involved. If we give our very best, trying to do it really nice, planning already before and getting all the jewelry out in the evening before, and then we go in there and we may even dream about it. And oh, that's when the heart is involved. But if it's just some routine thing, boom, 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 turban on, thing, 1, 2, 3 malas around, finished. You know, that kind of service mood is not going to cultivate so easily bhakti, obviously, you know. So, and same is there in chanting, you know. The heart has to be involved. So let's park the heart level for tomorrow, and let's just look at the body and the mind, you know. Because unless we are attentive on the level of the body and mind, there's no question of being attentive on the level of the heart, actually. It all starts with the body. Yes. So, inattentiveness on the level of the body. This is a pretty long list. Oh, by the way, let me say this also before I forget. Where is it? Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he was making this nice statement. He was saying, make your chanting heart deep, not just lip deep. That's a good one. Let's make it heart deep. And that's usually the theme of my little holy name retreat there. You know, to try and bring the holy name to the level of the heart. Yes. Yeah. Yes, so inattentiveness on the level of the body. Since we don't have so much time left, I can't allow myself to be so interactive. But the list is long. Basically, it means we are doing something while we chant. Right? Very common to chant while talking to somebody. Two people meet, both people have the hand in the bead bag. One person says something, and then while the other answers, the first person is saying a few mantras. And if the answer is long, oh, we can squeeze quite a few mantras in there, you know. And if it's short answer, oh, what a shame, just one mantra. So and like that, it goes back and forwards, back and forwards, back and forwards, right? I'm sure we all are guilty of this at some time, you know. Or we go shopping, you know, on the market, in the shops, looking for this and that. Or, you know, well, a very common distraction is the mobile phone. That's why I prefer to live without it, you know, because Oh, I see it all the time, you know, even in Mayapur and Prabhupada Samadhi. You see people having their mobile phone next to them, and as soon as there's some noise, then, oh, they get it out. And they may even say, oh, you know, thank God we have this finger here. This must be, you know, a special arrangement for Kali Yuga. So we can still scroll up and down and type a few messages there while we're chanting, you know. So, oh my God, you know, yes, terrible. Or we are watching something on the screen, you know. TV is, of course, already outdated technology, so now it's all YouTube. Even if it is something Krishna conscious, still, it's inattentive chanting. Actually, behind it is this mood of maximizing our time, you know, doing something else, getting something else done, or getting the rounds done while we do something else. This can even be sitting in a lecture, you know, we want to be in the lecture, we don't want to miss it, but I still got these 5 rounds left. Okay, let me just hide in the furthermost corner there, and I'll just chain my rounds and get them done while I listen to the lecture, you know. Or kirtan, same thing, we don't want to miss the kirtan, but I still got a few rounds. Okay, let's, you know, do both, you know, yes. Yes, or the other mood is not maximizing our time, but passing this boring japa time in a more pleasant way, you know, by going for some nice sightseeing walk and looking at the birds and the bees and the flowers and, oh, how nice, you know. Or we just look at all the different darshans around the world on the computer, this picture, that picture, or let's have a look in Mayapur, what about Vrindavan, or LA, or Bhaktivedanta Menon, and we just entertain ourselves, you know, with looking at different pictures. Even if it is Radha Krishna, it depends on the mood, how we look at the picture. Whether we are actually trying to absorb ourselves in a prayerful mood, or whether we are just, you know, stimulating the senses here and distracting the mind in a pleasing way or something, you know, yes, yes. Even sitting on public transport. Tomorrow we will do this exercise tomorrow morning. And it probably will become pretty clear how in public transport we cannot feelingly call out to Krishna, because we always have to worry, what are the other people thinking about us, you know? And there was this funny story, I do have to tell this, some of you may have heard it already. One devotee told me in Ukraine how he was traveling on the train chanting, and opposite him were sitting non-devotees, you know, and he was trying to hide this, you know, very quietly, you know, holding his hand there. So, and then he overheard a discussion of these people. And one guy was saying to the other, oh, look at this little bag he's got there. What the hell is that? Look. You know, and then the other one says, yeah, see, you can see something is moving inside there, you know. And then the other one says, yes, and can you hear this psh, 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 you know. And then, yes, it sounds like some birds, doesn't it? So the conclusion was, he has some little birds there in this bag, and they're twiddling around. You know, this is true story, you know. Yes, I'm not making it up. You know, so if you have people around you like that, how can you really absorb yourself in chanting and feeling the call out to Krishna, you know? Not possible, actually. Oh. Heart. It's all about the heart. Yes. Yes. So, and also one devotee told me that he once, also a true story, he chanted at the airport at the departure gate. And he was just walking up and down and chanting. And they wouldn't let him on the plane. They thought he was psyching himself for a suicide attack, blowing up the plane, you know? Yes. And he had to fly the next day. They wouldn't let him on. Yeah, I mean, you know, you can come across all kinds of amazing stories, you know, when you chant in public. You know? Yes, yes. Yeah, so anyway, the list is long of the versions of inattentive chanting on the level of the body. Of course, falling asleep is miserable life. This is really terrible, you know? Yes, oh my God, no. Yes, so then inattentiveness on the level of the mind means basically plan-making session. We use the chanting for a plan-making session. And often people say, yes, whenever I chant, I get the best ideas. So they must be coming straight from Goloka Vrindavan. But sorry, no, it's inattentive chanting. Actually, one thing I have to tell you. Funny story. It was also, I think it was in Ukraine, or maybe it was in Latvia and Riga. No, maybe Riga. I was giving a lecture, and there was sentence-by-sentence translation. And while I was speaking, I could hear some clicking noise. And I was wondering, where is that coming from? And I was scanning my audience. Who is chanting here on a clicker? And then I saw my translator was chanting on the clicker. While I was speaking, she was chanting on the clicker. I think you know who I'm talking about there in the back. Yes, you know the person. I'll tell you later. Yes, I mean, I couldn't believe it, you know. And of course, she was not pronouncing the Maha Mantra audibly. No, she was chanting like Haridas Thakur on the level of the mind, topmost chanting level, you know. But no, sorry, this is nonsense, complete nonsense. Is anybody here in the habit of chanting on a clicker? Be honest. Okay. What? You were, okay. I thought you were pointing there. And I was thinking maybe somebody behind the column is hiding who I don't see. You used to. Okay. Anyway, this clicker chanting is the surest way to cultivate inattentive chanting. If you can't chant on your beads, it's the wrong time for chanting. Yes. I know one personality who even calls this clicker chanting demoniac. I better don't say who it is. Somebody told me. I didn't hear it from him directly, but somebody told me. Yeah, so this is complete nonsense. I mean, the only personality who is allowed to chant on the clicker is His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj. Nobody else. Yes. No, you know, what is this? With the left hand, right hand, dirty hand, it's all stainless steel, no problem. And then you don't even have to finish one round. Then in the evening you just get the calculator out and divide by 108. I mean, this is ridiculous, you know, really. Yes, so please, tomorrow after the morning session, throw your clicker in the next river. You have some river here? Yes? Ljubljana has a river. No? Pond, lake, swaha, get rid of it. Yes. I mean, they shouldn't even be distributed, you know, these things. My God. Yes, it's terrible. Yeah, so inattentiveness on the level of the mind is just the whole plan-making thing, you know. Yes. And let me just very briefly give some little glimpse into the inattentiveness on the level of the heart, just to introduce it. I'm sure we have heard that analogy Prabhupada gave, how we should chant. We should chant like a child, not mother, but child. The child crying out in helplessness, in desperation for his mother. Right? Are we chanting like that? Rarely, if not at all, I would say. Yes. One mantra per month. Okay, if maybe some calamity is knocking on our door. Yes. Yeah, that's the problem. We are not crying out helplessly. That's the problem. And interestingly, we can observe that the child crying out in helplessness does not have the problem of a wandering mind. Right? The child will not say, strange, every time I cry for my mother, I'm thinking of so many other things, who to play with and where to play and what to play. No, child does not have that problem. There's no room in the child's mind except where is my mother? I need her right now. No room for anything else. Yes. So that gives already very clearly the solution to the wandering mind. We have to involve the heart. Right? Yes. The very first Holy Name retreat I ever attended was with Sachinanda Swami and Radha Desh. I think this was 2008 or 2009 maybe. And that really woke me up. And that's, you know, where I've got my inspiration from to preach about this, because I realized, my God, this is a real topic. You know, so urgent topic. And he was making this point, don't get caught in a boxing match with the mind. You know, which is also quite profound, because very often we do this if we don't involve the heart. We certainly get caught in a boxing match with the mind. Because very often we hear this question, so what do we do when the mind wanders? And the standard answer is, pull it back and hear. Which is, of course, very nice, but it's not everything. We have to involve the heart. But if we don't do that and just pull it back and hear, so then for 2 or 3 mantras we may concentrate, then boom, the mind takes us again for a ride. Pull it back in here, mind takes us, pull it back in here, and here we have the boxing match. And we're not going to get anywhere, because we have to involve the heart. Let's remember this example of the child crying for his mother. You know, that gives the answer. You know, yes. Yes. Sometimes also people have these tricks, you know, that they stare at a mantra card. Well, if it helps you to involve the heart, then maybe okay, it may work for you. But you know, it's all too much on the level of the mind and intelligence and the staring on the card and all this. You know, it's all about the heart, my God. Let's call out feelingly. That's what the chanting is all about. You know, it's not some dry, mechanical, impersonal, you know, meditation exercise or something. But we are meant to call out to the Lord feelingly. You know, we'll try that tomorrow. Yes, and then we realize that it is not so easy. You know, yes, so that's what the chanting is all about, you know. All these other things, for me personally, they're just not involving the heart, let's put it that way. They're missing the point, you know. Yes. Yeah, so tomorrow we will unpack more the inattentiveness on the level of the heart. At least one first principle we give, and we'll do a japa exercise, you know. Yes, so actually you also know Mahatma Prabhu. Actually the first time this chanting topic caught my attention was when somehow I received some article from Mahatma Prabhu in my inbox. I don't know how it got there, you know, but I somehow got this in my email inbox. And there he was talking about this inattentive chanting. And that's when I thought, oh my God, that sounds like me. Looks like I've got a problem here, you know. Yes, before then, I was just never even thinking about it, because also in the earlier days, we did not discuss these things so much. You know, the emphasis was all on the numbers. How many rounds are you chanting? How many? Oh, 16, okay, you can get initiated. But nobody ever asks us, you know, what quality are these 16 rounds, you know? Satchinanda Swami talks about the empty medicine capsule. Anybody of you has heard about the empty capsule? Yes. So we'll talk about it tomorrow. So nobody asks, so what kind of capsules are you taking? Empty ones, full ones, or maybe poisonous ones? There's also poisonous capsules. You know, so nobody's asking these things. We're only looking at the numbers. You know? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so in any case, Mahatma Prabhu gives this nice example. When you sit in the car and you have your foot on the accelerator and it sounds quite serious, boom, 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 you know, but the gears are in neutral or in park if it's an automatic, which means you're not going anywhere. Right? And you can sit there with closed eyes for 2 hours, boom, 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 and you're imagining, oh, you go with 180 kilometers per hour down the German freeway, then in Germany you're allowed to drive like that, you know. But then when you open your eyes, oh, gee, I haven't gone anywhere. So that's what inattentive chanting is like. Some noise is coming, and it may even sound very serious, right? But if the gears are neutral, meaning not connecting, that's what the gears are doing, connecting, you know, then, oh well, we are not going anywhere. Yes, we're staying on the spot. We are missing out on all the wonderful, you know, results which attentive chanting brings. Results like inspiration to serve not only when it goes according to our liking, but to serve even when the biggest obstacles are there. even if we don't get any result, you know, but still we have some steady inspiration to serve in all ups and downs, you know. Or inspiration to read Prabhupada's books, Bhagavatam, that we get a taste, you know. Not that our favorite book is Facebook, you know, but Prabhupada's books. Also, we get a genuine taste for chanting. We actually feel like chanting more, you know. Or we get so many realizations. Realizations are actually revealed by Krishna proportionally to our mood of serving. So, and chanting is part of serving. We see how Maya works, we see how Krishna works, and above all, we lose taste of sense gratification. Sense enjoyment becomes a boring waste of time. Yes. You know, that's one we can't fake too easily. You know, that just going to the beach and how boring. You know? Yes, yes. Or sex life, how boring. You know, waste of time. You know? Yeah, it takes a while to get there for most of us, not from one day to another. But yeah, these wonderful results come from chanting attentively, you know? Yes, and we're simply missing out. Yeah, so obviously, you know, it's well worthwhile to really endeavor to get on deeper levels of chanting. And by the way, the same principles are there in kirtan also. You know? Also in kirtan, we have to actually connect. And we have to be attentive on the level of the body, mind, and heart. You know? Yes. Even in kirtan, you know, we can be inattentive talking to our neighbor, blah, 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 blah. Or we get the mobile out, yeah, I'm on the kirtan. Or we're writing some SMSs there, you know. Or we're making so many plans. Or we're thinking, God, when this is finally finishing, how boring. And heart not involved. We are not connecting. So also, then kirtan is maybe some nice music, but not more than that, you know. Yes. Whole big thing, whole transcendental affair, this chanting and kirtan and japa. Yeah, so it's 8 o'clock, time is up. Let me see if we have maybe one or two questions. Do we have any questions? Yes.
Hate to ask it, but can't resist. Okay. Are there any situations when chanting on clicker, etc., are acceptable? Like if one is sick or has a small child, like I know so many, like having children myself, I know so many mothers who have stopped chanting altogether. And then choosing between that and clicker, my choice was definitely inattentive chanting just to keep it 16, somehow, with left foot, be it. But, you know,
yes.
Is it a wrong approach?
Well, let me clarify that point first. I just remembered very often people say, but didn't Prabhupada say we should chant 24 hours? And here we hear, we should not, you know, so what is this? So, let's be clear in this, that we are talking here, we are talking here about our prescribed number of rounds, which should be chanted with undivided attention, you know, undivided attention. Ideally, we should get there. Yes. And any extra chanting is extra. No need to count it, even not on the clicker. It's extra. Because if we count it, then very easily we cheat ourselves and we say, actually, we have chanted already 5 rounds in the car on the way to work or whatever, you know. So then another thing, which I believe gives an answer to your question, what do we do when we realize that all our 16 rounds are inattentive? Obviously, we will not be able to transform 16 inattentive rounds into 16 attentive rounds overnight. So what do? We take some number of rounds, whatever it may be, 4, 6, 8, whatever, and we chant them with undivided attention. Yes. Preferably every day the same number at the same time. But that doesn't mean we don't chant the rest of the 16 rounds. But all right, let them be inattentive as they have been for 35 years or whatever. So in this way, we give ourselves a chance to experience the difference between attentive and inattentive chanting. Because that is actually part of our problem, that we only know inattentive chanting, and we think that's chanting, and we don't know anything better, you know? So, like that, we give ourselves a chance to experience the difference, and then gradually we will get disgusted with these inattentive rounds. And naturally, the pile of attentive rounds, eventually at least, will become bigger, right? So like that we can work our way out of this swamp of inattentive chanting, because it is like a swamp. It can pull you down, you know? Yes. So going back to your question, at least there should be some number of rounds which are chanted attentively, you know? Yes. And I dare say even mothers, if they are becoming good time managers, you know Alakananda, right? Sure. I visited her in Australia. I stayed with her 2 weeks. So, I mean, I was impressed, you know, what good time management she has. And she knows if I don't get up at least at 5 o'clock, I'm not going to get any rounds chanted, you know? Yes, yes. So, yeah. And I also know one Mataji in Mayapur. She brought up her 2 girls in Mayapur. And I invited her once to speak on a program talking about the glories of being mother. And she was telling these nice realizations. Actually, Krishna Kshetra Maharaj was also one of the speakers, and afterwards he sent me an email and he said, oh, what was the name of this Mataji who was talking? And he obviously liked it too. Yes. And she was telling this story how she was, you know, breastfeeding her two daughters from several years. And every time she was breastfeeding them, she would chant, but on the beads. It is possible. No need for a clicker. And it was interesting to observe how her girls were putting the chanting together with this nice and cozy experience of being fed. And when the girls were older, she was still breastfeeding them. They were 3 or something. And then once one of her girls was, you know, looking around for the mother's bead bag and then grabbing the bead bag and running to her, here, you know, chant and feed me. Yeah. So, I mean, this is pretty amazing samskaras, you know. If a person grows up like that, you know, while they're cozy with their mother there drinking, they hear the holy name. How nice, you know. So that sets really positive you know, impressions in the mind, you know. Yeah, so she was sharing this on the stage in front of so many people, you know, and yeah, she shared a few other nice stories too. Yeah, so it's just a question of you know, managing our time well, and then we find time to chant, you know. But yeah, I mean, this Mataji Alakananda, she's got twins, so that's extremely intense, you know. Two in one go. Yeah, so, but anyway, I still don't accept that excuse of clicker chanting. I'm sorry, even when we have children. I dare say there is time, you know, to chant on the beads, you know. But, wow, before we don't chant at all, we can say maybe clicker chanting is better. But then again, easily it becomes a habit, you know. And then the kids are 10, 12, 15, and we're still chanting on the clicker, you know. That's the whole point. So, not sure.
Listening to you, I came to thinking it's a question of sincerity. Like when you really cannot, and then at some point, okay, now you actually can.
Yes, yes. It is a question of sincerity. And I dare say it is also a question of sincerity to find time where we can chant on the beads. You know? Yeah. Because kids, especially babies and kids, they do sleep also, they play, you know. Yeah. It may not be so attentive because we may, you know, have to multitask and we have the hand in the bead bag and do with the left hand something. But at least this clicker chanting doesn't enter our life, you know. And at least we have to finish one round, you know. Yes, yes, yeah. Sorry, I'm not
It's okay, budging. Thank you very much.
Anything else? Okay, well, maybe we'll leave it at that. And just, by the way, the False Ego book has a whole chapter on chanting in it. Yes, it's like a summary of the Holy Name Retreat. So much more I present than what we discuss today and tomorrow. So if anybody speaks English enough to read it, maybe you will find something a little useful in it. Okay, so tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock we'll continue. And this was just the little introduction, setting the grounds for the discussion tomorrow. Yeah, so please be there if you can. And if you can, bring your bead bag, not your clicker. And we'll do a chanting exercise also. Okay, thank you so much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki.